a great sense of, you know, what whose word are we going to believe and what are we going to accept. And today was just talking about the power of sound and giving the enemy an earful this morning, and used the story in Samuel, 1 Samuel 13 and 14, about Jonathan literally going, crawling on his hands and knees with one sword and killing 20 men, and how that sent shockwaves through the Philistines to the extent that Saul, even though Saul didn't know where Jonathan was, and even though he didn't understand the sound that was there, that one statement of faith that Saul made, and that Jonathan made, was that surely the Lord is able to answer, whether by many or by few. I don't know. I don't know if he will, but he may answer. And that kind of prayer, that kind of word that goes and is amplified by the spirit world. And I know we have sound and equipment and all that, and we don't want to, you know, it's not how loud we get here. Oh, we get excited, and I understand that. But it is truthfully the excitement of what's going on in the spirit world. Because we illustrated that this morning with four lepers who were not trying to make a lot of noise, who were not trying to make a lot of racket, but somehow the Lord amplified that as they walked to the Syrian camp. And when they got there, there was absolutely no one there. Now, if you would, slide 24, Brother Justin, we'll start there. We went through 24 slides, so here we are. One more little story that I want to tell you in the word of the Lord about this amplification of sound. And I really think that you, I got, Sister Shauna sent me a video clip, and Brother Nick came to me Sunday morning and he said that Brother Stone King at NAYC one time, in I think 2015 it was, that got up and talked about the roar that was in the stadium with all the young people. Some of you young people may have been there. Do you remember that? Some of you? A few of you? Two of you? Three of you? Four of you? And his statement was that because the devil is the prince and power of the air, that when we praise the Lord, when we let out a roar, when we worship the Lord, that immediately it disrupts the devil's authority. And I do believe that. In fact, at that moment, then they let out a roar, a shout, and it went like off the decibel meter. I guess it was worse than a rock concert, and all these kids could handle it. I don't know. I'm not asking us to do it tonight. But the point was that we just made in the book of 2 Kings, these were four lepers that were just shuffling along. They didn't have hard boots. They weren't walking in rhythm. They weren't trying to make noise. But somehow that sound reverberated through, and they thought the Midianites, and they thought the Egyptians were there. And what's amazing is I will never forget my first trip to Israel. We had a man that was a commander in the Israeli army. It was in 1969, way back in the dark ages. And it had just been about 20 years before their war of independence in the 40s, 48, that they gained independence and had fought for that. And they had the Six-Day War, which is a skirmish that was not long after that. It was called in Israel. Israel's history, and there were hundreds of stories of miraculous times when the enemy would be defeated. In fact, two Israeli soldiers got lost. I remember this story was they got lost, they got turned around, and they found a Jeep, and they started driving, and when they came over a little hill, there were about five soldiers in the road with their hands up. And they had heard this Jeep coming. They thought the whole army was on them. And so they surrendered. And so these two guys picked up their guns and put them in the back of the Jeep and started marching them. They went around the road, a bend, and there was about 35 others. And they were there with their hands up. And they were surrendering, these two guys. Now they've got about 30 or 40 people marching in front of them. And they said, you know, that they kept going thinking, we're going the wrong way. And finally, one of the soldiers that was captive said, no, you need to go back that way. We're surrendering. And it was like, wow, God is able to take whatever word we speak, whatever time we clap our hands. You may not think it matters much, but when you stand there and begin to worship and praise God, I'm telling you, you are sending shock waves into the spirit world, and you're saying, devil. This Judges, the sixth chapter, and you know the story. But you may have been like me. At times I read through these stories and think I know them. Let me read you a few verses here. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, remember? And there was a word from God. And Gideon was hiding. Gideon was, the Bible says, was hiding, and he was rubbing wheat together with his hands because they were afraid that the enemy would come and steal their grain. So he wasn't grinding it openly. He was hiding, trying to make, and if you can imagine, trying to get a little wheat to make a little bread. And so that's what he's got, a handful, and he's hiding and doing that. And the angel of the Lord appears to him. And the angel says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks around, who is he talking to? It's not me. I'm hiding right now. I'm scared. And Gideon said, oh my Lord, if, he didn't say, praise God, the Lord is with us. He said, if the Lord be with us. Then he did something that none of us have ever done, but he said, why are we going through this? If God really loved me, if God was on my side, why am I having... Okay. And then the next part of that verse says, where are all the miracles? Oh yeah, Lord, you heal them over in Africa, and you heal them over in Singapore, and you heal them. What's going on, God? Right. I know we've never said those things. I'm talking about Gideon in the Bible said that. And basically, the Lord gave him one good word. He said, just go, Gideon. And Gideon said, well, now wait a minute, Lord. My family is poor, and I'm the least in my father's house. So he made another excuse. And so the Lord says, well, all right, surely I will be with you. And so you know the story. He gathers together several thousand men. And in the seventh chapter, it goes right on. Sixth chapter here. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And he said, surely I'll be with thee. And you remember what Gideon did next at the very last? After he said, surely the Lord will be with you. Gideon said, okay, let's make a deal. I got a sheepskin out there. And let's prove that you are the one really talking to me. And this is called a fleece. And because of using that. And so he put it out, and he said, now if all the ground is wet and the fleece is dry, and then he puts it out another day, and if all the fleece is wet, the ground is dry. So you would not call Gideon a mighty man of faith, would you? In fact, the Bible tells us, you know, it's not really good for us to fleece the Lord. But Gideon was like, I'm not real sure about this. And yet, go on, next slide. And so he gathers all the men together. And then the Lord said, let me tell you what. Tell all of those that are fearful and afraid, leave. And I imagine Gideon wanted to leave with them, but you know. Guess what? 22,000 of them walked out. And they only had 10,000 left. And they were going to fight this huge army of Midianites. And the Bible tells us that they had camels more than you could count. And there were 10,000. And so then the Lord says, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water. Remember the story? And those that lap water like a dog, stick their head down, and, you know, we'll let them go. And how much was left? 300 men. He said, let everybody else go home. So Gideon's 300, very small number. Next slide. Now, this is the part some of you may have overlooked. So Gideon's got his 300 men. He's gone through the fleece. He's talked to the Lord. He's made every excuse in the world as to why he can't do it. And he's the least. It's all of that. I can't handle it. It's not for me. And so that same night, the Lord said to him, get up, arise, put on your glory. Sometimes before we get God to arise, we got to do something.
That's right. That's right.
The Lord says, get up and get down to the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. And then the Lord gave him a special provision. If you're afraid, Gideon, you can take your servant with you. Hoorah. And you'll hear what they say. You're going to listen to the words of the enemy. And oh, I wish for a moment we could hear the words of the enemy. I Brother Tim will often tell me, he'll say, the devil is so stupid. Huh?
Yeah.
But we think we know what the words, but if we could just hear them. So the Lord said, get in, get up, go down to their camp and listen to what the enemy is saying. And afterwards, your hands will be strengthened to go down to the host. So Gideon said, I don't need my servant. I'm not afraid. What did he say? Oh, no. Somebody's coming with me on this trip. I'm not going down there by myself. Come on, Pooh, let's go. And so they sneak down. It's in Judges, the 7th chapter. Go on, next slide. They sneak down in, and they go into the camp of all the Midianites and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay in the valley. And the Bible records that they like grasshoppers for multitude. They're camels without number. The sand by the seaside for multitude. And two guys are in a tent and they're talking. And Gideon sneaks up beside the tent. And one guy says to the other, man, I had a dream last night. Well, what'd you dream? Probably ate too many pomegranates. I don't know. They're talking about this dream. And one of them said, when I dreamed, a little cake came rolling down the hill. A cake of barley bread tumbled over and it fell into our camp. and it just wiped us out. And the other guy said, whoa, that must be the sword of Gideon. He had no idea that they were talking about Gideon. I want to tell you something. Don't think for one moment that the enemy doesn't know who we are.
Amen.
Nobody else may know your name, but the devil's got a target on us. And he sees it when we're worshiping and praising and magnifying God. If you only knew how the enemy said, you know what? If I can get them so concerned and worried and angry and fighting and angry with one another and hurt and offended, if I can disrupt, I don't want them to speak a word of unity, a word of faith. I want to get them so turmoil in their heart and mind.
That's it. Absolutely.
And so, go on. Next slide. There's another one. There it is. When Gideon heard what the enemy said in one tent about the dream and the interpretation thereof. Thank you, Jehovah. Gideon, you've seen a fleece. I know it. You've argued with God. I know it. God, angel has appeared. I know it. But I've got to listen to what the enemy said for a moment. And I realize that what the enemy is afraid of who we are. The devil trembles at the sound of the name of Jesus. He knows what spirit I got. That same spirit that spoke the worlds into existence flows through my vocal cord. Ooh, I know what the enemy's saying about me. And returned to the host of Israel. And what did he say? Get up. Get up. For the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided them into three companies, 100 people in each one, put a trumpet in their hand and empty pitchers and lamps in the pitcher. Now, God hadn't even told him to do all of that. But he did it after worshiping and praising God by faith because he heard what the enemy was saying. All right, let's go. I think there's one more slide. And he said unto me these six words. Look on me and do what I do. Ooh. So that's why it's so important to have the body. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I come in and I don't feel like worship, but if somebody will come up and say, I'm going to praise the Lord with you. I'm going to walk around the church with you. I'm going to,
Amen.
Look on me and do what I do. Man, that's a word of faith right there. Just right there. If you just do what I do, I don't know how. This is crazy, Gideon. Just do what I do. It seems stupid that, you know, when you're going having financial problems, that you worship God. But somehow, if you do it, just you do it by faith. It seems like it doesn't matter if whenever you're sick that you come for prayer. What does that little bit of oil do? I don't understand it all, but if you'll just do what I do, it's going to be all right. That's the only thing I know is do something as unto the Lord. And he said, behold, I came to the outside of the camp and you'll do as I do. And the host ran and cried. And when you read that they broke the pitchers and they let the lamp and they screamed. And do you know what they screamed? The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And the Midianites started killing each other. What are you saying? You don't understand that shout that went out when Gideon heard what the enemy was saying. And it allowed that to be stirred with faith that he was able to say, Lord, I am now, he worshiped. And he said, arise, I'm going down and I'm going to worship. You know, I know there it's us and it's here and it's Sunday night and we're thankful the Lord filled someone with the Holy Ghost already. I understand, you know, but let me just tell you, there is such power in our praise and in our worship. And we speak a word, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I am rich. That's why I put the sentence there that, you know, the devils believe in one God and they tremble at the sound of their name. It's so powerful that when Jesus was in the garden and the guards had come to him to get him, that whenever they go, have you seen Jesus? Does anybody know a Jesus of Nazareth? And Jesus just simply turned around and said, what? I am he. I am just the word I am, knocked the soldiers down. What are you saying? If you don't know anything else to do but just to say in Jesus' name, have you ever known what I'm talking about? You ever been all of a sudden startled? You're in your car and you say, in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus, help me. I want you to know what you're doing is sending shockwaves into the atmosphere. You're disrupting the prince and the power of the air. Let's stand. Arise. Let's come.
Most of you know I started a new job about 2 weeks ago. Some of you know I have a lot of back problems. Ended up the job, I was pretty much on my feet all day. Coming home the first 4 days, sitting on a massager and then going to a heating pad. My kids were taking my shoes off. And I wouldn't admit that I wouldn't go be able to do the job. And then on the fourth day, I cried out to God and I said, this cannot be your plan. And I cried to Carly. We cried back and forth to each other. And she said to come up and get prayed for on Sunday. But in the meantime, I got a new pair of boots, kind of a little inconspicuous back brace. And it seemed to get better. And all week I've been telling people, well, something's made a difference. The back brace or the shoes, something's made a difference. And I had forgotten until I got here this morning. I got prayed for right there. Brother Gators prayed for me. And I'm here to give God the glory for what he's done. So good to me. Thank you, Jesus.
Want to know if a miracle in the making counts. For those of you who might not know, Richard has been dealing with some extreme health issues for 3 years. And 3 years ago this month, they found by accident an aneurysm in his abdomen. It was 7.8 centimeters, huge. And they did surgery, put a stent in, and the doctor told us that the best case plan is that stent would contain it. Every time we've gone back, that particular aneurysm has shrunk. Wow. And the doctor says, I don't know why. Typically, it just maintains. But in the meantime, they found another aneurysm behind his knee, and they are waiting until it gets to be the point where they want to do surgery on it. This past May, by accident, he's been having some chest pain, and we went to the surgeon again, and they did a CAT scan and said that there is an aortic aneurysm, and it's the big bad kind, and it's 4.6 centimeters, and they want to do surgery when it's at 5 centimeters. The surgery would entail open heart surgery, and cutting from stem to stern and put him on bypass machine, and he said it's very, very risky. It's a very risky surgery. And of course, in my feeble mind, I said, well, do the surgery now. Why wait till it gets bigger? And he said, the doctor said that the risk of the surgery is equivalent to the risk of the aneurysm bursting. But I know that we serve a God that's good and has maintained. We've had one crisis after another. Sometimes we can't make it because he's having chest pain, but we feel the prayers of this church and our church family, and we know that God's doing a work. I don't know what it's going to be. I have no clue what it's going to be, but I know that God is in it.
She got up.
Because we're going to get up. We're going to claim
it
in Jesus' name.
She got up. Let me tell you my story. I walked in January needing to see an orthopedic surgeon. Nobody would take me. The doctor made a recommendation, a referral, and because of my insurance, the doctor my doctor referred me to said, I will not take you. I went and drove Brother and Sister Joe Strand home to Arkansas. And my mom and dad said, how's your foot? I said, well, I'm limping. I just taped my ankle, wear a sock and a thick tennis shoe. I'm just limping. While I was in Arkansas on a Wednesday, my dad called his orthopedic surgeon. My dad handed me the phone and they said, ma'am, we'd be glad to take you. Can you come in tomorrow? I walked into that office, filled out the paperwork. I said, you know, I don't have the same kind of insurance. We don't care. We'll take anything you've got. 15 minutes in the office, he took an x-ray and he said, I'm going to tell you what's happened to you. So I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, you have torn your tendon irreparably and the arch of your foot has collapsed and you are going to be walking on bones. And he said, the surgery is not a viable option for you. It's going to be a bad surgery. He said, I'm going to have to take this out here and take this out here and put rods in your foot. And he said, I can give you 3 to 7 years of walking. And I said, well, what's my option? He said, you're going to have to wear a boot for the rest of your life. And he showed me the boot he wanted to put me in. I said, well, what can I wear before then? Is there anything? I'm by myself and I'm listening to this. My mom and dad are out and my parents don't have a clue. My husband doesn't have a clue. And he shows me a picture of the boot. He said, I have to make a cast of your foot, and this is what you'll walk in. And then he said, and I didn't ask him, he said, I do the surgery on little old ladies who want to clean their houses. He said, that's the most I can do for you. I don't recommend it. And I came back home. He said, I want you to go and I want you to get a boot and I don't want to see you till March. And I want you to wear that boot every single day. I want you to stay off your foot. And I knew I had to go to Beaumont, Texas. I told my husband, I know I cannot walk the concourses limping in this boot and pulling luggage. I'm going to have to take a wheelchair. And I took a wheelchair and they wheeled me back and forth. And I stood on the platform and worshiped the Lord and stomped on my foot and worshiped and praised his name. And Brock Chavis came the first week of our 40 days of fire. And he said this. He never noticed my foot. He got up and said, what you see is not what is. What you see is not what is.
Do you see this? It's not there. I don't know if the Lord is going to heal my tendon. I'm telling you this right now before I go back. I don't know. But it would be worth it to me to see everything in here go free. If the Lord put me in a boot and said, I am going to give glory out of you in that boot.
Yes, sir.
If you're not ashamed to wear a boot, I'm not ashamed to let Jesus do whatever he wants. I believe that not only did God do that for Diane, but I believe he wants to do something for Sister Benita and Brother Richard. I don't believe God is a respecter of persons. But I'm telling you before it happens that my God is able.
Yes,
I have to be right down there with them, just jumping. You know what I'm telling you? I put it in his hands. Yes.
Somebody else may want to testify. Come on, we're going to tell the truth, Gideon. Come on, let's go listen what the enemy has to say. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Well, now you know I have some issues. Oh, well, I've always had issues. When I first learned I had this other aneurysm, it scared me because I wasn't ready to die. Okay, and it could go in 4 minutes, it could go 5 minutes, it could go in 15 years. So the only thing they told me to do was keep my blood pressure down. Well, that's kind of hard to do when you come to a Sunday night service like this. Huh? You kind of wound up, want to hang off the chandeliers.
That's right.
But anyway, long story short, I learned, it took me about 3 months to get used to the idea that I might go to bed and not wake up. And Sister Blanche, bless her heart, Sister Blanche told me something. And it was from the Lord. And she said, just don't worry about it, Brother Richard. Just don't worry about it. So I learned not to worry about it. I had today. I might have tomorrow,
that's right.
And I might not have tomorrow, but I know that Jesus is with us. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It's been 3 years now since I had my accident. I don't know if y'all know, I fell 18 feet from my tree stand. Fractured my shoulder, broke my arm, bone came out, fractured my hip, but Okay, I'm sorry. But when I came here, church, for the first time, everybody came back and prayed for me, and I claimed it. And when they did my surgeries, they told my family, we're going to do the best we can. Don't know if she'd have much mobility. I also found out that I've got severe osteoporosis. He said, screwing the bone, or screwing the screws into my bone was like screwing it into an overly ripe peach. That's how bad my bones are. But I can move my hand.
I'm here to testify. It was 2 or 3 years ago, sitting here on a Wednesday night on a Bible study, and I told my wife, I said, hon, I'm sitting here and I've got the worst headache I've ever had in my life, ever. And we sat there, and I ended up going to a doctor, and the doctor done a brain scan. Then he ran an arterial thing up into my brain. He said, you got a double aneurysm. He said, there's nothing we can do. It's more dangerous to try to do surgery than it is to just leave it alone. So that a couple weeks later, I went out to church camp. And the pastor can testify to this. I went up before the Lord, and I was dancing and hallelujahing. And I said, Lord, I know you can heal me. The pastor came out and said, you're healed of aneurysms, aren't you? And I said, sure am. And I'm here to tell you, Brother Richard, that they called me on the phone a year later and wanted to give me another test, which is thousands of dollars, and I didn't have. And I told him, I don't need that test, I'm healed. And it got dead silent on the other end of that phone, let me tell you. They mean you're not going to have that test again? No, I'm not. Don't need it. You can't do nothing anyway, but I know somebody that did. And I thank you, Jesus. Brother Richard, I believe the Lord's going to do for you what he did for me. Amen.
Thank you.
This week, let's just at random times give the enemy an earful.
Glory.
All right? Shake hands with somebody.